Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Fool.
Okay, now it's been a while since we've last been here, and for obvious reasons, because we didn't have a World Cup to report on. And there's a reason why the silly season is called the silly season, so if we had to do a report every week, I think we would have mass conspiracy theories involving aliens, like ghosts, and Pino Zahavi. Because, you know, he's involved in everything, I'm pretty sure, football or non-football related. But anyway, we are exactly 2 days away from the Premiership. But before we look into that deeply, a bit about the off-season. Some big moves.
Yes.
Most important transfer, I think, this season is Luis Suarez going to Barcelona.
That is a big one, but given his World Cup, it sort of, I suppose, was one of those things Liverpool sort of had to do.
Oh, yeah. I think Liverpool were probably already going to sell him. Maybe that cut the price a bit. I think they maybe could have gotten another $10 million out of that.
It could have been interesting whether they would or would not have, given their obvious targets out of Southampton as well.
Mm-mm.
They could have got a bit, yeah. I don't know if they, I guess, yeah, they would have sold him no matter what. He's just saying the price became a bit more fluid.
Yeah.
But
yeah. That being said, there's been a few other goodbyes. The worst kept secret in world football, Robert Lewandowski, went to Bayern Munich, who become even stronger this season. And Real Madrid and the off-season have been relatively quiet by their standards.
So I haven't heard a lot. Been a couple.
But they always seem to do well, and they've still got the core of their team last season. There's always rumors about well, they did get Rodriguez. Obviously, that is, of course, a big buy. Yeah. But other than Rodriguez, there's a rumor that he will be joined by his compatriot, Falcao, and also former Monaco teammate.
Yeah.
And I think if Real Madrid get Falcao, they will be a scary sight to behold.
They will be very scared if they get Falcao. They've got a good squad, good attacking, with good defence. You add that in and it just becomes, you say, scary.
And
especially since they're defending the Champions League, that sort of squad is the sort of squad that can win it again and be the first team to double down.
Yeah. And they've also got Benzema, who is still a class act, and he re-signed. And I think Benzema had a very good World Cup as well.
Yes.
So La Liga, those two, the usual suspects, are all doing pretty well. I think Atletico bought some good players, despite having to sell good players as well.
Like, I think the money they, got from Costa and a few others, has managed the, because,
Felipe Luis, who,
Luis as well, both going to Chelsea.
Yep.
I guess buying those two from Chelsea made up for the fact they recalled their keeper as well.
Yep, yep. And they,
so Atletico got some money, but yes, they bought reasonably well.
Yeah, and they'll probably be thereabouts, but I don't think they'll get that romantic season like they had last season where they nearly did a European Cup and championship double.
Depending on where they put their focus, I think they could, one competition they could probably do quite well in, but I don't know if they got the squad for doing one, two, or three competitions again.
They'll be similar to Borussia Dortmund after they made their UCL final, and mind you, Dortmund had won two in a row and then came well second in the season that they faced Bayern Munich in the final. La Liga, those three, maybe Valencia, who have a pretty useful squad, but you really don't see anything other with Suarez at Barcelona and Rodriguez being brought into Real Madrid, and Real Madrid not selling people like Di Maria or Cadera, for that matter.
Yeah.
And if they do get Rodriguez, then like we all about said, very scary sign.
Yeah.
We're going into the Premiership, by the way. Now, last season, I made the comment that whichever team gets Douglas Costa, if it is a British team, are going to be a scary sight to behold. But in the back of my head, I was kind of thinking, unless it's Chelsea. But and so, lo and behold, it is Chelsea that get them, because Chelsea, unfortunately, did not have a strike force, effectively, last season. And
we had a strike force. It was called our midfield.
Yes, well, your strikers were not scoring goals, and the fact is, you've bought two strikers to make up for it, because, and I don't get this, because one of the complaints that Mourinho had about Eto'o was that he was too old, so he got someone who was even older in Drogba.
Yeah, so I don't really understand the Drogba bit. I guess it's just the fairy tale bit, you know.
But Drogba showed in the World Cup, he can definitely turn a game in half an hour.
Oh, exactly, he's going to, I mean, that's what he's going to be. He's going to be the sub, especially as we go deep into the year, as we get multiple games from different competitions coming. They come on, fill the spot, just get the goal off. He won't. I don't think he'll get many full games, unless, of course, there's a few injuries to go around. But he'll be used as the super sub all the way through.
I know Lukaku didn't want to stay, and I think, though, that is one transfer that Chelsea may end up regretting. The other one that may come back to bite them in the arse is Super Frank Lampard, spending the first half of the season at Manchester City before he makes his big debut in New York City.
That is crazy.
Well, yeah, who saw that coming?
Yeah, wow. When I thought about it, I was like, yeah, that made so much sense. I could see what they were doing there.
And, yeah, Pellegrini has only bought a couple of players here and there. He bought Mangala, who, strangely enough, is like a third choice for France. But, like, I've been reading up on it in the last day or so. There's a lot of people paying a lot of money for defenders, and there's not many defenders available in the market anymore.
No, that's something I was reading just today, actually, that something that both Manchester United and Arsenal need, a few defenders. Arsenal's dropped a few defenders along the way, as has United.
Yeah.
Both they've been, to be fair to both you guys and Arsenal, they've been older defenders that have been let go. But now you've both got a reasonably young defence line, and looking at the...
I will come back to Arsenal, but... Okay, let's just go into it. Like, if we're going to go team by team, we've analyzed Chelsea. They've got good players come back. I think every position is now solid. And I think Mourinho has no excuses. He's got the players he wants. Yes. He's got the team he wants.
Yes, and he's got the team he wants, and he's got the team that will play the way he wants as well and do the Mourinho thing. And yes...
I can't see Chelsea finishing below second.
I can't see it. Yeah, and I can't... really see them getting any dropping out any earlier than the semi-finals in the Champions League either. They've got a good squad. They've got a wide squad. Say Mourinho's got the team he likes. They will play the way he wants, which yes can get a bit negative at times, but that gets you competition. That wins you cups. That wins you trophies. If you're
Chelsea,
not losing.
Last season Chelsea were experts at making good teams not be able to play their best and beating them. They were like the rogue in a D&D party, like countering everyone's effectiveness, you know? And Chelsea beat all the top teams, or other than United for some reason. And like they drew their first game at the beginning of the season.
But that was Mourinho once again playing the super move. That's what Mourinho's outcome was at that game, because that was right back at the beginning of the season, and you could see it by the end that what he wanted was a 1-0, and if he didn't get the 1-0 in favour, then nil was fine, you know. It was nil all and try and snatch at the end and see if you can do it that way.
But
it might have been a move he might have regretted later in the season,
given how bad United were.
Season went, but hey,
like, this was to early be on, fair, so. The only other top four side to drop points to United was Arsenal. and I don't understand, because Arsenal for a long time last season stayed on top, and it looked like they'd finally, Arsene Wenger, after building up for so long and being patient, had come through, but it was not to be. And the usual thing, too many injuries, not enough squad depth.
Yeah.
Chelsea don't have that excuse. I think they've got the depth, they've got the squad, and they've got the coach. Next team, Arsenal. They've bought some very good players. They've had to lose... Bakary Sagna had to go, unfortunately, but they replaced him with Debuchy, who's ahead of Sagna in the French team, so that's definitely a plus. They have bought Alex Sanchez, who's going to be a fantastic player for them.
That will be very good for them.
And Callum Chambers, whom they got from Southampton, is a very versatile young player who can play pretty much anywhere on the back line. He's only 18, and so they have bought a young player in their defence. And Arsenal's always got one or two good young players in their defence coming up anyway, so that should be... I don't think defence is their big problem. I think that a lot of their problems will potentially come in the midfield. If players like Ramsey, Wilshire, and Walcott keep being injury-prone.
Like last season, right? Yeah. Last season they had a very good squad. They were fine until they had... Mm. And I think Wilshire, Walcott, Ozil were all injured at the same time, basically. Yeah. And they were month-long injuries, and that just ruined any title chance they had. They just couldn't get points during that time and just dropped like a stone, basically.
What surprises me is that Arsenal had, it's another Chelsea player we forgot to mention, Arsenal gave up their first dibs on Cesc Fabregas coming back. And given, I think, that is the one position where Arsenal don't have depth. Cesc Fabregas is a much better attacking midfielder, but he can definitely play that defensive holding midfield role and be a playmaker from the deep. The fact that Arsenal kind of went, nah, thank you, but no thank you.
And that was a bit weird, I thought. When I heard that Cesc had come back to the Premier League and he came back to Chelsea, I felt a bit of a double take. I thought, he's come back, he didn't go to Arsenal.
I'm sure you're happy to have him, though.
Not complaining. He's going to add something to that midfield, which is good. Which is a bit of a surprise saying about the Chelsea midfield. Be able to bring in a creative attacking midfielder and say he's adding something to it when you've already got a wealth of players playing there. But as you say, he can play that that deeper position, which is something that Chelsea does need, that deeper lying playmaker.
I think Arsenal would not complain if they got another good striker as a backup to Olivier Giroud. Like, there's no like-for-like for him, I don't think, in the Arsenal squad, and very few in the Premiership. And I think they definitely would be feeling a lot better if they had one more midfielder, because Flamini, Arteta, old workhorses who've done a lot for Arsenal, but are getting on in years now.
Yeah, yeah.